And welcome to our pre-show here. Just I start the pre-show and I have to take a leak. Great. Puerto Rico governor, we are 100% without power. The entire island is without power. That is an infrastructural problem. And you may say, well, it was a Category 5, you know. I don't give a shit. If you're Puerto Rico, you're in the Caribbean, you live in the in that hurricane zone, it happens every summer and fall without fail. What do you want to do? Do you want to live down there or don't you? Do you want to live down there and not have electricity like, you know, every year, have people die every year? Just that's the cost of living in the, quote, beautiful beautiful Caribbean. Personally, you can have it, man. If I want the beautiful, you know, the beautiful turquoise waters of something, I'll take Cozumel any day of the week. Yeah. Which is that? Where is that? Oh, yeah, that is in the Caribbean. Oh, it's the Gulf of Mexico. Well, but it's way over. It's in Mexico. And we're not talking about a high incidence of hurricanes in that area. Not compared to the Caribbean. Christ almighty, those people are right in the corridor of that shit every goddamn year. So if you're going to live there, it's the same thing with Florida. I was informed. I want to find out something here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So what are we doing today here, man? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Hi. Hi. Phil Henry. Hello. Hi. Testing 1, 2, 3. What in the fuck? Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. I think that's what we needed. Testing 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Test, 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 test. Hi, it's Phil, and welcome to our show. I don't know. I can't. I don't have. I don't have the. Maybe I just don't have the mic pot up enough or something. I think the show. I've been listening to the audio on the show, and you know, trying to get my shit together. You know, I'm trying to figure this out. On the run, man, you know. And I just noticed something about the goddamn limiter here. You know. Yeah, man. Whew, fuck. Hot. No, it ain't hot. There's James Corden. I don't see him enough. Do you? I wish they'd put him on TV a little more. I'm not saying he's a funny guy, you know. He's funny. He's got more of what I would call a Hollywood sensibility. Than what I think is funny, you know. He's got the whole hobnob with the celebrity funny shit. There's nothing about him, in other words, the least bit sarcastic, as far as I can tell. You know, he looks like the, you know, that which is kind of a cool, look at me reaching for nice things to say. I'm kidding. I mean, he's fine, man. I guess I just would say the following. I don't really watch his show. But then again, I don't watch anybody's fucking show because I'm asleep. Or working. Now I got to figure this out, man. I don't know. What if I move that? Just move the. I usually have my master all the way up, right?
Thank you, Margaret. Yes, this is John Derryman, and I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before. These are the things.
Well, isn't that? That is lovely, John.
So what we're going to do today is a Margaret Gray's National Review, National Enquirer Review.
And I have the National Enquirer here, and I'm looking at some of the news, and I thought what we could do is look at some of the news from the Enquirer and have on the pertinent individuals. Who is that?
I think you have on a line there Mr. Derryman.
Oh, John Derryman is also joining us from Philadelphia, where he lives in a retirement facility. Look at Angelina Jolie. I don't mean to be cruel, but did she do something to her face? Or was something done to her face? And I don't mean that in any... Well, I was told not to physically assault anyone, and so... Baby, I feel good. Do, 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 from the moment I...
Hey, man. Come on, dude. There you go. All right. I got a table read tomorrow morning. For F is for Family. And then on Friday, I'm going to go pick Marie up in San Diego and bring her back home. But what I wanted to try to hear tonight is a Margaret Gray. Margaret Gray looks at the National Enquirer. Margaret Gray Celebrity Review. You know, something like that.
Yes, it's Margaret Gray's Hollywood is me. I is Hollywood. Not I. I am Hollywood and me.
You know, and let me see if I can get the song that I like here. The one I'm thinking of, anyway. Shut the fuck up, man. No, thank you. That's that album that I have. I told you guys about it. It's called, I recommend it. It's an album filled with, it's called Freedom Songs from the Heartland. It's American music. And it's American music from every era. It starts in the Revolutionary War, the colonial period. Johnny has gone to a soldier, that kind of shit. And then well into the 19th century, all of the music of the African slaves, the beginnings of blues and Delta blues, the country music, Appalachian music, the beginnings of ragtime and jazz. There was a guy in New York City, and I'm being honest now, there was a man in New York City in the late 18th century, a black man, who was, I forget his name, I read about him in a couple of books I read about New York, about especially the Three Points. Is that what it's called? New York Three Points? Jeez, I'm spacing. But he was a dancer. And he was known in a lot of the theaters and saloons and whatever they called them. You know, they had different names. Musical theaters, where they also, I think, served drinks and food. Cost you a quarter of 50 cents to go in and watch a show. And he was a great dancer. He was well-known in New York City and beyond, and obviously so well-known that he made it into a history book, and his name survives. I don't remember it, but he was well-known for his dancing, and thus, I think, begins the history of you know, American dance among the black, the African-American population post-Civil War, as black people, now newly free, began to spread out into the country and began to find ways to survive. And one of those ways, because it was wide open, was the field of entertainment. Because what competition, you know, everybody's pretty equal footing. You know, if you think about people that are fans of entertainment, I don't give a fuck. You know, probably back then, I don't give a damn color or not, man. I want to see a goddamn show. I spent my quarter, and I want to come in, you know. So, no problem there, man. You know, I'll go in there, blow that fucking white guy off the freaking stage with my shit, and boom, you know. The Irish, the same. The Irish went in for all that, you know, George M. Cohan shit, you know. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dan, that kind of thing. All right. Enough of my blathering, but it is called, here it is, Freedom, Songs from the Heartland, right? Yeah, Songs from the Heart of America, excuse me. Freedom, Songs from the Heart, here's when Johnny comes marching home. That you heard this one, I played this the other night, Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Right now, what I'm looking for, though, is... That's Civil War era. Right? Am I right? I think it is. Anyway, bunch of shit like that. Look, hold on for a minute. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'll get some more examples of it. There's another one, a song that I played that was very interesting. Gene Autry, in my mind, I think in the minds of a lot of people, Gene Autry was a very successful guy, had a lot of money. had a lot of money, and had made his career in the motion pictures as a singing cowboy. And I think that Gene Autry probably embodied that conservative, Republican, country music-loving kind of a guy. You know, at least that's what it sort of appeared to be. Now, every time I saw Gene Autry interviewed, and basically it was in association with the California Angels. That was the team that he owned. He was, seemed like a really nice guy. You know, I would never attribute to him any far right-wing asshole sentiments. As it turns out, Gene Autry's on this album singing a song about the death of Mother Jones, who was a labor organizer, and about as close to commie as they had in those days. And there's Gene Autry singing a song of mourning for her, a song of tribute. Maybe he did it just because it was a popular song. I don't know. Maybe he did it, you know, because he got paid a lot to do it. Or maybe he did it because he had great sympathy for the working class in those days. Back in the day when the working men and women, mostly men, because the women had no fucking power, had to fight to organize. As you probably have read in many of your... Look, man, you know, what is Holiday for Strings? Is that it? Where are you, man? When Johnny comes marching home again. Okay, Holiday. Where is it, man? I thought the name of the album was Holiday for Strings. Brown-eyed woman, stay away, baby. Brown-eyed woman. Is that the name of the song? It must be the name of the song, then. Holiday for Strings. I'm trying to find that song that I want to kick off the show, the Margaret Show, with. A, B, C, D, F, G, H. Come on, man. Where are you? Here it is. No. Yeah, here it is. No, motherfucker. That's really interesting that it won't let me play the song that I want to play. I find that fascinating. Okay, so, you know, what do I do, man, to clear that motherfucker up? Clear. Fuck off. Space Capades. Love it.
So I was lost. Go count the cars before you go to the Holland Road. With your heart like a stone, you spared no time.
Shut up, whiny motherfucker. Now, this music reminds me of being a kid, like in the 60s. You'd hear that kind of shit, you know, and welcome to our 3 o'clock movie, that kind of crap. Where the hell? It says I bought the fucking goddamn piece of shit song. Where the fuck is it, man? If I bought it, I own it. Motherfucker. Let's see. What? Oh, my God. I'm fucking driving me nuts. It says it's purchased, but it didn't download. You fucking piece of shit. Oh, man, dude. I can't fucking deal with this shit, man. What? Okay, here's Apple Music, and here's Gay Spirits. It says I bought it. I mean, I went over to it. It says you bought it. It was still up in the fuck... It was not in the cloud yet. Whatever, you know. Let's see if it's in here now. Yeah, there it is. All right, so that's called Space Capades. Okay, cool. Yeah, okay, cool. That's fantastic. I had no idea. Fantastic. K-U-S-Q-S Space. God, I need glasses. I mean, I need better glasses than I got. Space Capades, bitch. Where's the fucking album? That's the name of the album. Space Capades. Wow. This is like freaky as fuck. Well, now iTunes won't open up for me. Come on, man. There you go. Well, I was in Apple Music. Now I'm in Apple dog shit. iTunes quit unexpectedly. Click reopen to open the application. Click report to see more detailed information. Send a report. Reopen. I'm gonna reboot it. Reopen it. Oh, what happened to this? What? Now, this is like really pissing me off, man. I want all the fucking songs downloaded, motherfucker. You know? Because how can that album be in there, man, if... Space and Time. No, it's not there. All right. Then where is Gay Spirit and Holiday for Strings? There's Holiday for Strings. Ultra Lounge. That's what it's called, Ultra Lounge. There we go. Love it. I got a lot of Ultra Lounge songs here, man. I got Roller Coaster by Les Baxter, Fandango.
I was hoping that we'd do this near the ocean or have some, you know, some atmospheric, some ocean sounds, Bert.
I think it'd be wonderful.
But I guess we don't have that, so welcome to Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. And we're going to be looking at some celebrity news today. I also have John Jerryman, a very special edition of having John on. He's going to sing the song.
What's he going to sing? He's going to sing. If ever I would leave you, I'd like to sing it.
I'd like to sing, Margaret, a wonderful song from Camelot called If Ever I Would Leave You.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love that song.
If ever I would leave you, how could it be in springtime, knowing that in spring I'm bewitched by you so? Your face filled with luster, your eyes all lit up, your hair and your nose, everything's lit up. Pardon me if I don't...
You sound as if you're lit up.
I had a couple of dinner. If ever I would leave you, how could it be in autumn?
Holy shit. And would I see you running merrily through the snow, or on a wintry evening when you catch the fire's glow? If ever I would leave you, how could it be in autumn? Seeing your bottom in autumn, I know. I'd flip my lid then. I'd go through eight men. I'd tear an asshole on anyone who tried to stop me then. And if I see your ass... I'm sorry, it's... If ever I would leave you, how could it be... Here's this guy, Michael Holmes, this Aussie, who looks like he's gotten too much sun. He looks like he's 40 going on 60. You know the guy I'm talking about? He looks like a stout guy, but there's something about him that says way too beat up for television. And yet, you know, he's got that rugged dude thing going on, which is cool. I think the Aussies have got that going for him. You know, they look just, all the Aussies look just right. I was talking to some friends of mine. Oh, they were voiceover guys. I said, the Aussies say P, they do a long E. No, Kiwis do, the New Zealanders, do the long E. Whereas the Aussies do fast, you know, the beer, fast as lager. That's Aussie. And the Kiwis, they say, would feast is leaguer? No, that's impossible. Feaster's leaguer. What kind of an accent would that be? Anyway, these cats were breaking it down the other day at one of the sessions, you know. And I was talking to a couple of really good voiceover guys, man. Chris, one of them was Chris, and the other guy was Trevor. And both of these guys do a lot of voiceover work, man. I thought, you know, with all, you know, humility, I thought I was pretty good. These guys are fucking killer. Trevor does all kinds of fucking animation. But these dudes were doing... One of them busted into a fucking Steve Buscemi that was dead on. But you know, those guys, they all studied. They studied, like, with coaches and shit. I've never done that. Acting, yeah. I mean, like, camera acting, yeah. But voiceover, I've never taken a class. And I probably should, like... I know Debbie Derryberry actually does classes. my agent asked me the other day, and she said, do you ever do any coaching, Phil? Do you ever do any teaching? I said, no. And she said, why? I said, because I always felt that actors that were also teachers, it smacked of desperation, smacked of I need money kind of thing, right? Which is a stupid fucking, it's ridiculous. Well, maybe it's true, but I mean, some actors go into teaching full time. They act, but most of what they do is teaching and coaching. I took classes from a goddamn good actor back in 1980 and 81, named a guy named Alan Guritz, whose stage name was Alan Garfield. Now look that name up. He's been in some pretty good movies, and he's done some terrific work in them. And he was also a guy I took classes from on weekends over there on Melrose. He had a little, he had a small little theater. I guess, you know, rented the theater. Terrific guy. Loved him. Loved Alan. And I thought he was a great teacher. He was the first guy that introduced me to the whole concept of being in the moment kind of thing that actors learn and blah, 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 blah. All kinds of little exercises he had us do. I liked the guy. But I took that class for a while, and then I think it was only for a length of time, and then you had to re-sign for another series, and I think he had a movie he was doing. And I know at that time, there was an article in the LA Times, you know, Jake LaMotta just passed on. Oh, you know what? I got to get my shit together here, folks. What time is it? Okay, we got to go. Ultra Lounge, right? Yeah, okay. Here we go. Now, I need my thing, and I'm going to do my thing with my thing. Everybody ready? Everybody good? Everybody filled with love and light and happiness? Good. Here we go. One, two, and a one, two, three.